Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
You say, oh, I could never give up certain things. I know you couldn't. That's why you have to turn it over to God. He'll do it for you.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about surrender and separation. This message was recorded at a teen conference in 1995. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, surrender and separation.
I believe one of the greatest problems facing teenagers today is that the wicked seem to be getting along fine and the righteous seem to be perishing. Oftentimes, teenagers that go to church regularly say, why did I get saved so soon? And they actually begin to wonder if they're missing something in life. David said, truly God is good to Israel and to such as are of a clean heart. Said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone and my steps had almost slipped. Why? For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. We have the tendency and we have a temptation in our life to begin to envy the wicked. We will come to a point in our life when we will actually wish that we could be living a wicked life. Now, majority of you here wouldn't want to do that day after day after day, but there does come that temptation. So here we put a person here. Over here is a wicked person. And you begin to look at how that wicked person is getting along. And he says, I envied that person because he had so-called freedoms. And here was the Christian over here that seemed to be bound, that seemed to have all kinds of restrictions put on him, and consequently, he envied. And he said they had no bands in their death. And on and on and on he went. And then God spoke to David and said, David, come here, I want to tell you something. And look what statement David actually made in verse 13 of Psalm 73. He said, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, and I have washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. David said, I'm a Christian for nothing. He said, a matter of fact, my Christianity has gotten me where I have been plagued all the day long. Then he said, I looked at the wicked and they were getting along fine. They lacked nothing. They had homes. They had everything they wanted. And God told David, he said, David, I'm going to show you something. And he said, I'm going to show you the end of the wicked. And they were on slippery places headed for hell. And God said, David, you don't have to envy that person that is so-called free because he was a bond slave of his own sin. And he said, they are headed for hell. In verse 18, he said, surely they are set in slippery places, and you are casting them down into destruction. You see what happens when a person living in sin, maybe a friend of yours has everything he wants. Maybe he's on drugs. Maybe he's doing his own thing. And you say, my, I wish I could be that free and that happy. You have nothing to be envious of the wicked. Nothing to envy the world about. But there is a temptation that way. So when we hear the word separation, you begin to think, oh no, here comes a grocery list of don'ts, of negatives. Here comes the thing of all the things that we cannot do. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. We're going to talk about the fact that in Christ, there are so many things that you can do. We want to get you so busy doing, you won't have time to don't. And if you get the right things in your life, there will be no problem with you doing the wrong. The Sunday school class that I had in California, we had 5 minutes to teach the whole teenager department. And I could tell the teens were just thrilled about being there. I could tell by the way they were sitting. slouched down in their chair. They looked very disinterested, very unhappy. And I had the entire teen department. And by the time they took the roll and got everything taken care of, I had 5 minutes left to teach. I was in the prayer room. I said, Lord, what can I do in 5 minutes? The Lord seemed to bring to my mind 1 John chapter 1 and present a principle from 1 John chapter 1. So I did. I was introduced. I got up into the pulpit. I said, I'm glad to be here. And I said, I'm going to tell you in 5 minutes why you don't want to be here this morning. I turned around, went to a chalkboard. I drew a line across the top. I drew one line down the middle. In one part, I put light. In another part, I put darkness. And I put a body in the light. And I drew a mind in darkness. I put the teenager in the middle. The Word of God on one side. And the world on the other side. And the teenager is wondering, what should I do? Should I listen to what the Word of God says? Or should I go the way of the world? Well, if he's from a Christian home, he has to go to church and sit in the light on Sunday morning, but his mind is still abiding in the darkness of the world. And when I am believing one thing and doing something else, what happens to my life? Who can tell me? When I believe one thing, my belief is here in the column of light, and my actions are in darkness. What is the end result of that? What happens to your system? Tension. And guilt. So you have all kinds of tension and guilt because your belief is in one side and your actions on the other side. Why is it that you do not look forward to getting into church on Sunday morning? You have Sundayitis on Sunday morning because your mind has been living in darkness. But yet your body has to come to the light. What is the answer? Going from the realm of darkness to the realm of light is called separation. Okay, back here we remember that David was warned by God, don't envy the wicked because they are living in darkness. And their pathway is headed for hell. So David envied the wicked. He saw their end. And David then stopped thinking darkness thoughts and came back into the light, both in his belief and in his actions. And so coming from here to here is separation. That's simply what separation is. Making your actions equal to your belief according to the Word of God. Okay, so if I'm over here on this side, I need to leave the realm of darkness, cross over the light into the light. Then it says, I will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is cleansing me continually from all sin. This is what joy is. And I would say, in addition to this, read the whole chapter of 1 John chapter 1, and you'll see that we have fellowship with Him and we have joy with Him if we are walking in the light as He is in the light. All right, you say, okay, I'm going to dedicate my life to the Lord and I'm going to come out of darkness. I'm going to start walking in light. So the invitation is given. You come forward and you get on your face before God at the altar and you say, oh God, forgive me of my sin. Cleanse my heart from sin. Oh Lord, I'm going to separate myself. I am not going to date smoke with you or date girls who do. You make up all of your mind that you're not going to do anything. And that's exactly what you do. You don't do anything. And you say you're separated, but you're not really separated. Because you're only partially doing that which has to be done for you to be considered a separated Christian. What does it involve? How do I come from darkness to light? James chapter 1 verse 21 is, put away from you all superfluity of naughtiness. So if you write in your Bibles, underline the word, put aside. Put aside what? All of the things of the flesh. All of the sins that would come in your life. That has to be put out of you. No, that is only one half. Putting aside things out of your life is only one half of separation. That one half will never produce joy. It will only make you someone who is not doing anything. Okay, and what does the rest of the verse say? Put aside from you all superfluity of naughtiness. And what's the next word say? Receive. Receive what? With meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Mike just went into a study on what the Bible said, or how important Bible study really is, and how it's important to the conversion of your soul. And the other half of separation is filling the vacuum. If you just put something out of your life, you're creating a tremendous vacuum in your life. And that'll never produce joy. But it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. That is the other half of separation. And these two halves put together produce joy, happiness, fulfillment. Because then and only then do you have the strength and the grace to come out of darkness and walk in light. Receiving the word of God into your heart. You have to do that. Because otherwise there is just a vacuum created. Now let's turn to Psalm chapter 1. And we'll see the same principle presented back in the Old Testament. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. Just turn over to that. And I will give you the point here for a blessed man. Number one, it says a happy man is first of all separated. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He is separated from ungodly counsel. He is separated from the way of sinners. And he is separated from the scorners. So he is separated from ungodly counsel, the way of sinners, and the seat of the scornful. But that's only one half. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Verse 2. He studies God's law day and night. You see, how can I be happy? By just being separated? Absolutely not. How can I be happy? By separation plus filling that vacuum of separation by the Word of God, by a feeding day and night into God's Word. And then the result of that will be steadfast. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You want to be steadfast in your life? Then separate yourself, study God's Word, and the study of God's Word will automatically stabilize you in what you believe. You will not have to worry about kids laughing at your testimony. And then it says, whatsoever he doeth will prosper. So then you will be successful. You see what happens? How can I be happy? Separation. This is putting off. But studious, circle this. Putting in. See how it works? Now, many of you may have dedicated your life and you, within a week, you were back to where you started. You say, oh God, I'm going to be separated. I am not ever going to live in that sin again. I am not going to ever look that way again. I will never do this thing again. And within a week, you're doing it again because you only made up your mind that you are going to stop doing something. And you neglected to get into God's blessed word and fill your life and your soul and your mind and your emotions and your will with God's word. Oh, you cannot. How many of you read the Bible at least 1 hour last week? Praise the Lord. But think, there's 24 hours in a day. And just think how Satan is conquering us. How did Jesus conquer temptation? Satan came to him and said, turn the stones to bread. How did he conquer temptation? You know how he did it? He quoted God's word. He fought Satan with the word of God. You want to have victory in your Christian life? You want to be separated as a believer and have joy on top of it? Then get into God's word and you will find the power and the strength and the stability and the success in God's word. And in John chapter 17, we see Jesus said, ye are in the world. You cannot get out of the world. You're in the world. But it says, ye are not of the world. So here's the phrase, we are in, we are not of, but we are sent to. And it's all in John chapter 17. In the world, number one, not of the world, number two, sent to the world, number three. Yes, Here we are. You can't help but going rubbing shoulders with unsaved people. But you are not to be like the unsaved people. You are not of this world system. You're from a city whose builder and maker is God, and we are just pilgrims here passing through. And therefore, our ministry is sent to this world. But if we are of the world, we cannot be sent to the world because somebody else has to be sent to us to reach us. That's why we've got to be separated, so we do not identify with this world system and their habits and the things that they would do. So that's a part of the whole thing of separation. Where do we go? What do we do? What things are right? What things are wrong? We'll go into that in just a little bit. But the point we need to make right now is just not doing things will not answer your problems. Just not doing things will not answer that dedication you made at the altar by saying, Lord, I will never do this again. What must we do again? Let's repeat it. Fill our souls with the Word of God. And as the Word of God then begins to fill us, then we have control in our life. So let's draw our person up here again. The Bible on one side, the world on the other. Light and darkness. The key word of walking in the light is obedience. The key word of darkness is disobey. Okay, now, suppose I am living in darkness and I decide I'm going to dedicate my life to do right. How do I do it? I step across this line by obeying, and then I take the Word of God and fill my life with the Word so I can stay in the light. So my mind does not then go back. Because otherwise you can have everything right on the outside, but if the Word is not filling your life, then your mind is living back in darkness, though your body now appears to be light. This produces joy by walking in the light. The reason we want to teach you to be separated is to take you from the column of guilt and misery into the column of joy. By you getting to obey what God says in His Word. Obedience. What is obedience? Doing exactly what God tells me to do when He tells me to do it with the right heart attitude. And when you just simply learn to obey God, all of these other things then will begin to go out of your life. You say, oh, I could never give up certain things. I know you couldn't. That's why you have to turn it over to God. He'll do it for you. He operates on your want to when you get things right with Him. So obedience is the key to walking in the joy. So your belief and your actions are both in the same column. Now let's go over to the three tests of what is right and what is wrong. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. We'll go test number 1. And Paul is talking about here of what things are actually permissible for a believer to do. What things can I do and what things should I not do as a believer? And he makes the statement. He said, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Test number 1, the test of expediency. Now, what in the world is expediency? What does expedient mean? Okay, expediency is not whether or not this thing is good, but is it best? Okay, there are a lot of things that you could do that would not necessarily be evil in themselves, but it would not really be best for you either. We were down in a crusade back in Adrian, Michigan a while back, and we had this thing come up. And I said, suppose now we're in a church revival. Today is Friday. Suppose you had a homecoming game in your high school at the same time that the church revival was going on. And everybody began to laugh. Lo and behold, that Friday night was their homecoming game. And I said, here is a good chance to test whether or not we really had revival. I said, no, here is a good example of what is expedient. Not is a football game sinful? No, not on your life. What would going to a football game be best for me tonight? When there's a revival in the church, when the happy side of life, the high school assembly program is going to be presented, would it be best to go to that football game? Who could say going to a football game on Friday night is a sin? No one could. But I may sin because I missed what would be best. Expediency. There are a lot of different things. Now, suppose I was going back over here to where I'm staying and I ran out of gas, and on one side of the street was a restaurant and on the other side of the street was a bar. And I just happened to stall in front of the bar. And having my red cardinal suit on like I have today, it would be pretty hard for you to miss me. And you just happened to be going by on your bus and you saw my car inside the road and you saw me just going into the bar. Now, you didn't know I was going in there to make a telephone call to call somebody to come and pick me up. So you'd gotten and said, you know where Les went? As soon as he finished our seminar, he went drinking. You see? Now, there was a restaurant across the road. It would not have been a sin for me to go and make a phone call to have somebody come pick me up. But I could have done better by walking across the road, going into a restaurant to make that same call. So you would think instead I was going to be a glutton instead of a drunk. You see, the difference is that one place I would make a bad appearance. The other place, I would be safe. This goes in all of our standards. Not is something permissible, no. But is it God's best? Is it really God's best for me? Oh, Paul says, I can do anything. I have the absolute right today. If I wanted to go drinking. But I would never do it. I wouldn't go to hell if I did. I have the right to smoke, but I would never do it. I wouldn't go to hell if I did, but I'd smell like I was. You see, the test of expediency. Not is it good, but is it best? Okay, let's go on to test number two, and then we'll have some more categorizing under that. Number two, test of enslavement. Test of enslavement. He says, all things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. All right, put this, does it bind me? Do I become a slave to that thing? Well, this is where I would begin to put dancing. Because dancing is one thing that would put you into an atmosphere that could lead you into an improper dating relationship, that could lead you into enslavement in a habit that you cannot break in your life. And I'll put in here also an improper dating relationship. Because you can become a slave to dating habits. And if you begin something that you cannot righteously fulfill, you become a slave to a habit. You become a slave to that sex. Okay, let's go on to test number three. Test number three, the test of edification. Test of edification. And for this, we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians 10:23. It says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Here we can put edification means to build or to bless. All right? So we put the best, the bind, and the blessed test to all of our things. Edification means to build. Does it build my life, or does it cause me to go away from the things that God wants for me? Now, what things could fall under edification? What things could we have in our life that do not build us to be more like Christ, that do not help us to be more godly? Rock music. It will not make you more like Christ. The rock music, the country music. All things are lawful, but not all things build me the way they should. What other things besides our speech? The way we dressed, our whole appearance. You know what? Matter of fact, appearance could fall under all of these categories. And really, the whole area of appearance would not be expedient, nor would it edify. And that's why we've got to have our appearance in a manner that would build and edify. Astrology. You know, I am absolutely amazed at the number of Christian teenagers that are naive to satanic working. And I've heard of even youth groups having seances on activities. Thought it was a big joke. Without even realizing that later in their life, they're going to have to reap that because satanic thinking begins to enter the mind. And when we get into that realm, Satan enters our mind. And kids like that are frustrated, they're mixed up, they're miserable, and they don't know what it is. And many, many times we've traced it back to the fact they had a seance or they had a Ouija board. And they allowed the devil to work through them that way. This kid called me. He said, we were going to have a seance. He said, we put a candle lit in the middle of the room and a table, and we all sat around the table. He said, we were going to call Marilyn Monroe back from the dead. So they lit the candle, turn off the lights, and this one girl agreed to be the medium. They said, all of a sudden, a black cat came. There wasn't even a black cat in the home. Said it jumped on the table and stared right at the candle, stared at it, jumped down and left. And this girl screamed and said, she's here, and then passed out. And he said it got so weird, he ran and turned the light on, but that girl was unconscious. And something happened. And he called me. He said, I don't know. He said, I remember you talked about this one night in youth meeting, never to mess with it. I thought it was a big joke. So make sure you stay away from this area of astrology. Stay away from this. Don't get involved. Okay, so the test of expediency, test of enslavement, the test of edification. This covers just about anything we want to do. You ask God, is it best? Does it bind me? Does it bless or build others? You ask God that before you do anything. And then, would you want to be doing it when Christ came back? Can you ask God to bless it? Does it glorify God? Is it making me more like Christ? Is it a stumbling block to others? Is it light or darkness? And would Christ do it with me? Everything you want to do, ask yourself those questions. And I believe that it would stop us from a lot of things that we're doing right now that are not best. And really get down before God and say, God, what things are in my life that are not really best for me? What is it about my appearance? What is it about my habits? What is it about my lifestyle? What is it about things that are not seen in me that are keeping me from your best? Why don't you cleanse it and confess it from your life?
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking on surrender and separation. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.